My name is Antonio. I'm a Kubernetes maintainer. I'm working in SIG network, STL, and SIG testing. And my interest here is to show a bit more about the problems that Kubernetes has internally and why some things like multi-network are not easy to implement. So Kubernetes started as a container orchestrator platform, right?
Excuse me.
Hey?
Can you shut up the light on the top of the
What is the line?
On that box.
I think it's there.
Yeah. This box here?
Should be there.
This box.
This one? Okay, I'm afraid to break
yeah, me
it. It's like the meme with the two buttons, right? It's which one? I'm sweating now.
Tableau?
Let's go Tableau. Okay, the Tableau. Well, this is the thing. If in Kubernetes started as an orchestrator and now it's a big thing and everybody wants to do Kubernetes. And this comic is the best example, right? It's people just want to throw everything in Kubernetes and magically start to happen. But that doesn't work this way, right? In order to absorb all these new problems domain, right? Kubernetes, what it does is it implemented a pluggable architecture. Instead of being everything hard code, we try to define interfaces, APIs. You can see CRD, right? It's common these days to build your custom resource, or you can have the CSI to implement your driver and your storage. But you see that something is missing here, right? You don't see CNI. Since Dockersim removal in 1.22, Kubernetes doesn't have any networking capability. So all the network is behind the CRI API. So it's left to the containers. And if you went to the DAC multi-network meeting like 1 hour ago, you can see that the people that implement network plugins has to do a lot of gymnastics with annotations and JSON embedding and all these ugly things. This is something that we want to solve. But before we go there, is how Kubernetes work is just you have a control plane, and then you have all these worker nodes that have resources, and you run pods, right? Everything is controlled through the API. Kubernetes, at the end, is you have a REST API, you define the API, and you define the behaviors. And these behaviors are asserted by the E2E test. So when people implement something, they can run this E2E test and validate that their API, their implementation match the APIs. With this, you achieve a consistency across the ecosystem, right? A lot of people think, oh, Kubernetes use a lot of IP tables, and that's a big lie, because IP tables and kubeproxy is an implementation detail, right? The API is services, but you can implement the same without IP tables. You can use eBPF, user space, XDP sockets, whatever. The important thing is you implement the API, you run our E2E test that define how this should behave, and the user will have the same behavior independently of what it has behind the scenes. So when we move to the network, you need to think that Kubernetes was created as a application orchestration, right? So it was not created as an infrastructure as a service. And then this consequence, you have like three APIs for the network, three primitives that we can say, right? It's the nodes that are the VMs that run in an infrastructure that can be assumed as a node network. Network here is not an IP network, right? It's an abstraction, say, it's everything that is connected there. So all the VMs are in a node network. All the pods are in a pod network, right? The pods has this requirement. That's the Kubernetes requirement. Every pod has to be able to talk with another pod without NAT. And this is important because this allows all the applications to talk with each other. And pods need to communicate, pods need to discover, right? It's not that we want to hard code all the IPs everywhere. We need to create a set of pods and then expose these pods. And for that, you have services, right? So simplifying or oversimplifying everything, you can find these three networks in a Kubernetes cluster. If we go one by one, the first network is the node network, right? This is you have a bare metal cluster or a cloud provider, you run your machine, and you have a virtual machine. So this is I built a machine or a server, right? It has resources, it has interfaces, it has whatever. So the way that this work is for the network side is you have two fields, right? One of the fields is the status. The status is the one that holds the addresses. So something discovers when you start the node, the kubelet, that's the component of Kubernetes that runs in the node, it starts to discover all this VM, all this machine, and start to populate these fields, right? All these fields, right? So you have all the addresses. The first thing, okay, let me step back. The first thing that the kubelet does is to register the object. So this creates the API object. As we said before, Kubernetes is about API and semantics. So once it registers the object, things start to move. And one of the things is it starts to check for conditions, is how much memory, what IP addresses, because this information is going to be needed by other APIs or by other controllers. In addition to this, there are the bootstrapping of the VM is complicated in the sense that it can be controlled by the kubelet or it can be controlled by an external cloud provider. If it's controlled by an external cloud provider, then the addresses and some of the information that you can be in the API can be populated by this other controller. In addition to this, you also have a field that's a reminiscence from the past that is the pulsider. Contrary to what most people think, the pulsider is an informative field. So people, the CNI network plugin or whatever can use it or may not use it, right? So in theory, a lot of plugins use it, but doesn't mean that because you have pulsider in the spec, you are going to have this cider assigned to your pulse. And this is one of the problems when you develop APIs and commit these mistakes, right? This leaks to the users and generate confusion. We talked about the node initialization first, right? When the node starts, and we talk about the CNI not being part of Kubernetes. When the node starts, the first thing that need to do is to check if the network is ready, right? Because you cannot create pods if the pods cannot get IP addresses. So for that, there are two container runtime calls. There is one container runtime call that is network ready. This goes through the CRI API to the container runtime, and the container runtime right now, Cryon Containerd, the only thing that it does is to check if there is a CNI config file. Just that. You can fake the file, and it's going to say that the network is ready. Okay, moving from the nodes to the pods. This is one of the most tricky parts. The pod is the minimal unit of work in Kubernetes, right? So the pod is created and lives in a network, is able to reach other pods in a network, but this presents a security problem for people, right? So what we created is the network policy API. That means that you are able to define relations between the pods. This pod can talk with its other pod, this pod cannot talk with its other pod. This is a high level, right? So what happens when you create a pod is that a user creates a pod or a deployment, right? A deployment is a composition of the pod API. So this is going to create an object called pod in the API server. The controller, the scheduler is going to see, okay, there is a pod created but doesn't have a node assigned. So I'm going to assign this pod to this node because it has resources, whatever constraints that you put there. Then it assigns a node to the pod spec. And the kubelet that is watching this pod object and got this pod assigned gets the pod and start working on it, right? Start to create the pod. That's the so-called declarative thing, right? And how the kubelet start to create the pod is via the CRI API. So it starts to build, the CRI API is a gRPC service that is used to communicate between the kubelet and the container runtime. So the first thing that it does is to call this run pod sandbox call. And in this run pod sandbox call, you have networking parameters like DNS config, port map, host name. When this goes to the container runtime, as I said before, Cryo and Containerd use CNI, but this is not mandatory, you need to create the network namespace and to create the network, right? And once you create that, it goes back and the kubelet keeps working. After that, it gets the pod IPs from the status response, right? So that's the only thing that kubelet and Kubernetes know about the network. create a pod and receive the IPs. And this is the big problem that we have right now to start to model multi-network and these other complex network topologies, right? So we cover the nodes, we cover the pods, and now we need to cover the discovery, right? We have everything running, everything's fine, but we need to implement applications. For that, we created the service API. For the service API, what you do is you are able to define, to expose a set of pods by selecting, to say, okay, I want this pod that implements a web server to be exposed through DNS or through a load balancer, right? So for services, there are like five types of services. One is the cluster IP service. The cluster IP service is kind of a L4 load balancer. You define the set of pods that you want to expose, and you expose via cluster IP, a virtual IP and a virtual port. It's just L4 forwarding. You have a whole set of options to modify the behavior, but basically that's only that. For node port, this is a way. So right now you have the applications and you need to expose them externally. And for that, you have the node port. The node port is the typical port mapping that we do in our routers to expose something in one internal server, right? Is you get the IP of the node, a port in a range that doesn't collision with other things in the host, and you expose internally. And then you have the load balancer services. This is different. What it does is it creates the service and waits for an external controller to populate a load balancer that is able to send traffic to the pods inside the cluster. You also have ways to expose these services with DNS. That's the headless service. So basically what it does is it creates a new record, a record that as backend has the pods, right, as the A answers. The way that the Kubernetes service works is when you have an service object with a selector, right? And there is a controller that is watching the pods. When the kubelet creates the pods, the kubelet updates the pod status and the IPs. And so when the pod is ready, this controller is to see, I have a pod that matches this selector of this service, so I need to start to create an endpoint slice for this service. And then when you have the service and the endpoint slice, the proxy implementation, like kubeproxy, is able to define in the data plane the L4 load balancing, right? I have this cluster IP, this virtual IP, this virtual port, and I have these backends. It's just installing rules. One of the most tricky things with services is to do termination, graceful termination, because this, you saw the service type load balancer, the problem is that you need to coordinate asynchronously three parts of infrastructure. So the pod has a state. The pod can run, start being creating, start running, and start deleting. But there's some time that you want to do rolling updates, and for that, what you want is, I want to run my new version, but people is still hitting my endpoint, I don't want to lose any packet. So for that, you establish a grace period, and this grace period is translated to the endpoint slice. And this is used by load balancers to implement zero downtime. So in a common state, you start updating the pod. The pod is still able, you see the red line, is still able to receive traffic at that point because it's terminating, so it's going to be able to answer. But the health check start failing. So at the moment that it starts failing, the load balancer starts to move this endpoint out of rotation, so the new traffic is only going to the new pod. Once the new pod is removed and replaced by the new one, the health check starts succeeding again, and it can start to receive new traffic on the new application. As I said before, Kubernetes defines some APIs, and others are defined by composition. So you can have L4 load balancer on top of service. There is this ingress API that what allows is to use the service as a backend and define another layer of abstraction with L7 primitives as HTTP, so you could say this path this way and this path this other way. These APIs were created in the origin for some things that are no longer, or we carry over some of of the problems. Okay, time's up. So as evolution, we have Gateway API, that's the new API that is standardized. And the other problem is that Kubernetes is self, is portable, and all the things that you can see there is the network. So the same thing that you run a pod, you may be running a webhook that interferes when you create the pod with the API call and all the stuff. So this is the one of the other problematics. We need to be backwards compatible and support everything. If you want to be more interested in seeing what is going on, we have a public dashboard, so you can read the caps and what is going next. Okay, sorry, Igor.
Sorry, we are behind schedule, so no questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.